I think you guys have the coolest flag.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to
Sapmin
Podcast.
Sapmin!
You're listening to episode 108, somehow, of Sapmin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and we're here from the depths of dreams to remind you that life is not a waiting room, but what did you expect from me? What did you expect from me?
This week's guest is Senses Fail frontman and original member, one of New Jersey's finest, it's Buddy Nielsen.
Yes! And I'm very happy about this. The definition of a legacy band, if there ever was one. So Senses Fail and Buddy have been one of those key acts of the early 2000s post-hardcore and emo scenes era, making countless records for almost two decades now, and their influence throughout the culture is undisputed. But despite not being able to tour this year, Buddy has been as busy as ever in 2020. He's just been in the studio recording a new Senses Fail record. They released a split Misfits EP with friend of the podcast Chris Connolly of Saves the Day, put out two Christmas songs to get in the festive spirit, and started his own podcast, The Sound of Change. So we thought we'd invite him on to give us all the updates on that, have a laugh, and reminisce some incredible stories from his mad, mad career.
Thank you very much to Buddy for coming on. We had a great laugh. We hung out for a little bit after as well. We went off the rails a couple of times with conversation. Yeah, it was absolutely awesome, to be honest, and it was good to connect with him. And I hope we get to do one in the flesh at some point as well. So
yeah, and as I said, some of their albums in the past have just been a huge influence on kind of my music taste over the years. And he really dives deep at one point into that whole kind of time the scene blew up for all those Warped Tour-esque kind of bands, and even share stories of when he was on tour with My Chemical Romance and bands like Brand New, when everything started to escalate for them. So some great insights, and I'm looking forward for everyone to hear these stories.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or give us any feedback, go to at SappeninPod, that's at SappeninPod, that's at SappeninPod on Twitter and Instagram, and let us know your thoughts on any guests so far, any future guests you like, any episodes that you suggest for things we talk about. Just get in touch with us at SappeninPod on everything. And thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you know, you could even send us a really nice message, because it is Christmas next week, and then a few days after that, giving everyone a warning now so they can get the presents in, Sean, it is your birthday coming up on the 29th of December, and you share a birthday with Jason and Adam Perry of the band A.
Yes, I do. So at one point, right, there was four people in our company working together, and it was me, the Perry brothers, and my friend Benjamin Brown, right? And three of us had the same birthday, which must have been an absolute nightmare for Ben, because think of the three presents he should have, he never bought us anything, but he should have. The fact that there's three of us the same day, I let him off. But so Some people are saying the real Jesus' birthday is December 29th. That's not for me to say, but it is. So, if you want to wish me an happy birthday on December the 29th, not a moment before, make sure you follow me at Sean Smith Sucks on Twitter, at Fake Sean Smith on Instagram, both of which are not verified or can be verified because of the stupid names I chose. I'd like verification for my birthday, but I'm not sure if Jack Dorsey from Twitter listens to this podcast. He should do.
He should.
He should do. He fucking should do. And he should be a patron of the podcast, but he's probably not. And God knows I know he got the money too. So...
Well, funny enough, you mentioned our Patreon, Sean, because I know this time of year, a lot of people are definitely thinking, what the hell can I buy people in last minute shopping dilemmas? And don't worry, everyone, we've got your back, because you can become a official member of our Patreon community and even purchase a subscription to it for your loved ones. How nice would that be, giving someone a card on Christmas Day and telling them that they officially have a stake in the Sapnin podcast Patreon. So if you head over to patreon.com.
Stake? Oh, what? They have what?
What?
The Patreon's like a shares. I thought they just give us money.
We're riffing. I couldn't think of different words, Sean. So
oh, thank God for that. If we've got to share out that money, which we do already, and PayPal takes a fair lick off the top of it, there's going to be nothing left for anyone more if they're taking shares out.
What I'm trying to say is just go over to patreon.com/sapnin, and if you've liked any of the episodes that we've done over the last 2 years, there's 108 weeks worth of material, you're bound to like one, give us a little something back to have a little bit of coffee over Christmas, maybe. I don't know. It'd just be nice, okay?
Yes, it would. Coffee for me, or as we all know, Morgan's dreaming of a white Christmas and he loves cocaine. So yeah, as much, if you give for the price of a coffee, I will have it. If it's any more than the price of coffee, that money instantly goes to Morgan for his cocaine habit. So yes, check out patreon.com/sapnin for previous listeners. You will know that section just there was a joke, and Morgan has never touched drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or anything in his life.
No, that's true. I'm boring, as the rock and roll kids like to say.
No, you're not boring. No, you're not.
Thank
you. Do you know what? I think that's more punk rock than wearing uncomfortable shoes on stage. That's how punk rock you are.
That's weird, Sean, because like obviously there's been nothing in the news anyone said this week about wearing uncomfortable shoes makes you more rock and roll. But I was going to ask you that. What I was just going to ask you a really random question and say, like, have you ever worn an uncomfortable shoe on tour?
I once, funnily enough, got given a pair of Dr. Martin's boots, right? But my problem is with Dr. Martin's boots is, as everybody's problem should be with Dr. Martin's boots, is they come unfinished and you literally have to wear them in. What sort of crazy product? Imagine, right, if you were like, oh, I fancy some bacon. I know, I'll order some bacon off the supermarket, and they send you a pig and a knife. Right? No, that's not what I know. Finish, Dr. Martin's, finish your fucking shoes. And also, a massive fuck you to Machine Gun Kelly for his stupid statements about rock and roll. I like the fella. I do like the fella. He seems a laugh. And when I look at him, I just see a lost child, you know, like fucking, whoa, I'm in a Roxy now. Whoa. But come on, fella. Wearing Dr. Martin's boots doesn't make you cool or tough. To me, it makes you look like Frankenstein's special needs friend. So, reel it in, Machine Gun, or come on, yeah, and explain yourself.
Well, I would love that, because I think a lot of listeners know that I have been obsessed with Tickets to My Downfall, but stupid statement, and who knows. But if Doc Martens do want to give me a free pair, I would, I'll have them, because they're worth a lot of money and we can use that for better stuff for the podcast. So yes,
I like the way you've just admitted Dr. Martin's. Oh, is there any chance you can send me some stuff so I can sell it on?
Yeah,
that's what you,
yeah, that's fine. I'll take a photo with them on my Instagram and then I'll just sell them then.
Dear Dr. Martins, two things. Number one, I don't think you've actually got the qualifications to actually be a doctor.
That is true as well.
And number two, keep your fucking boots. I don't fucking want them.
Who would have more of a qualification, Dr. Pepper or Dr. Martens?
Well, I'd say Dr. Pepper. Well, if you think about it, Dr. Pepper's bad for you, right? Obviously, sugar and all that shit, right? But
what's the worst that can happen?
Nice, nice. The one pun I will accept on the show. That is nice. But also, for Dr. Martens to call themselves doctors and then literally destroy your Achilles tendon for 3 months, right? I think that's a little bit ironic. They should be called Bastard Martens.
Wow, this has been one of the strangest starts we've ever had. But let's just get into this wonderful conversation with Buddy from Census Fail. It's going to get very emo. You're going to enjoy it. Have a jolly festive period. Sapnin'!
My fucking feet never recovered from those stupid clumpy shoes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sapnin'! Yes! This week's guest is Census Fail frontman, Buddy Nielsen.
Yes!
How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing good, you know. But that changes on a daily basis. Today, I'm pretty good. I took my dog to the groomer. Oh. Yeah, my daughter isn't too mad at me this morning. So, yeah, things are pretty good.
Nice, yeah, let's look it up. Good,
William
good.
Shakespeare got a vaccine today. Let me look that up. William Shakespeare.
Yep, he was the second person.
Second person, I think he's 90, 81. Sorry, William Shakespeare.
Nice. I bet Bill Gates is having a right good laugh today, controlling 90-year-old William Shakespeare then. Hey, all that bloody anti-vax nonsense. Yeah, so today, yeah, today's the first day that the UK have been given, anyone in the UK has been given the vaccine.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And it's, yeah, well, very exciting, yeah. Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully it just means tours and shows and stuff can happen soon, because I'm absolutely busting.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be a while. I mean, we have a tour planned for the UK and Europe that we had to cancel with two really amazing bands. I can't tell you who they are yet because we didn't announce it, but they're pretty massive. And so we had a tour that we were supposed to be over there in October, and then of course it got canceled and it's moved until next 2021 October. So fingers crossed. I mean, I for sure think we'll probably be able to tour in other countries before America.
Potentially, yeah. And I'd imagine the UK would probably be, well, if we've got the vaccine now, hopefully we'd be one of the first to open up again.
Yeah, yeah. I think there'll be some protocols, procedures, and whatever, but I don't know. We'll see what happens in America, but it's a much easier to you know, UK is a you know, England and the UK in general are smaller countries that took it more seriously, so it's less prevalent, and I think it'll be easier to probably get under control than
Yeah, only we took it slightly less seriously, though. It wasn't like we took it massively seriously and went, shut everything down now, for fuck's sake. We literally went, let's wait.
Yeah,
bugger, it's you.
Yeah, a lot of people died. Like, I mean, it's not like comparatively to like Germany or something. Yeah, I think you guys waited much longer.
Yeah.
I guess we're comparing, you know, like, how many people have died? Like 30, 40, 50,000 in the UK? That's still a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's like 50,000, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. If you were to take 50,000 dead bodies and pack them into, like, what is it, like Wembley or something, like, that would be pretty noticeable.
That's what we could do. I could get my band back together and do a sold out Wembley with all the dead people.
Oh, that's not a nice image.
That's the most evil thing I've ever come up with. But I'm sorry about that, guys.
Point that, you know, I think,
yeah, it would, yeah.
Desensitized in America, I think we're close to 300,000. And at this point, I mean, it's just, I know it sounds terrible, but to a lot of people, not myself, but to a lot of people, you know, it's just such a big number. It's like they can't even fathom, like.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, when you think about things like 9/11, like, you know, 4,000 people died at 9/11. And yeah, you're nearly on like 300,000 now. That's. Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? But yeah, anyway. Yeah, anyway. Let's get off misery. We didn't want misery.
Despite the misery of everything going on in the world right now, I mean, I know you've mentioned that on a day-to-day basis everything changes, but how are you? How have you been able to cope over the last few months and really this year in lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's been up and down. I mean, in the beginning, I was in the middle of the first couple of months of the year. I was finishing writing and then started in the studio recording a new record. So, like, literally towards the end of the record was when, you know, I think Tom Hanks got it. The infamous day where, like, the NBA shut down and Tom Hanks got it. And I remember it was like, okay, we're going to call it a day. And like, it was super scary in the beginning, you know, I mean, we just didn't know. And all these people were dying and it was wild. So, you know, the first couple months, it was real weird. I kind of like, I had a really tough time mentally and I kind of like just really wasn't being productive. And then maybe around June or July, I started just sort of just be like, look, I gotta figure something out. Like, clearly we're not going to tour, because in the beginning it was like, oh, we're going to push this back like 2 months or to the summer or whatever. And, you know, we pushed all our touring back and we had a record and all this stuff and we hadn't finished the record. And that was like kind of not in the cards yet in America to just get back out there and start recording. So that was on the back burner. Touring is on the back burner. All plans of doing anything were put on pause. And so I ended up starting a podcast because I didn't know what else to do. And we actually have the management company that we're part of, they're called Rock Nation. And it's like Jay-Z. I mean, name a person, they're part of it. They have a deal with this podcast company. And, you know, they were kind of like, look, like, we can facilitate doing the editing and sort of the difficult bits. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I did about 20 episodes of a podcast and ended up finishing a record, writing another record. I've got, what else did I do? I did, we did a Misfits cover, E7-inch, which saves the day. And then we just released 2 Christmas songs. And then, so I've been super busy. I'm starting like a YouTube channel where I do a bunch of different things. You know, we'll see what sticks. But yeah, so I'm just trying, you know, everything I can to be busy and active without being able to tour. I mean, that's really a large part of my life, is especially when you have a new record. You know, I'll do 2 to 3 US tours on a new record. You know, we'll go to Europe, we'll go to Australia. Take that out, I just don't have the same amount of, you know, I've been touring since I was 18. 19, I'm 36 now. So it's a large part of my life that I'm missing. Traveling too. I mean, even when I'm not touring, I'm traveling, you know, for fun. So
nice. But yeah, it's good. It's very good to hear you've been busy, because, yeah, like you said, like I went through the same thing in the beginning. Like, I was like full of kind of doubt and not sure what was going to happen. And, you know, I think I was a bit low when I was a bit depressed, but yeah, I think it's super good that you've kind of come out of that, and yeah, to hear all the things that you're involved with and you've got going on is awesome. So yeah, congratulations on that.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. I mean, I think I've been busy. I can't really tell. Like, people have asked me, like, what are other musicians doing? And, like, to be honest, like, I don't know. Like, I know some people have, you know, been hustling. I mean, I guess I'm just trying to hustle because, like, I don't know, like, what I'm supposed to do. And it's I'm so deep in the hole of being a musician, you know, meaning, like, I'm 36 and I've done other things in my life, but I've come back to being a full-time musician. So really don't have, like, a lot of options other than just trying to double down on being a musician, being creative, and, you know, living off of, you know, I guess the career that I've built. So I really just got to figure out ways to, like, enhance that and make that work. You know, yeah. I don't really have any other options. I mean, luckily I was able to get a loan from the government. I mean, that's one thing that because of the way my business is set up, I'm like a proper business and I pay proper taxes, and, you know, I mean, so I was able to actually get a loan, which has been my lifeline. So I'm lucky in that case. If that hadn't come through and that didn't work out, I'd be a lot more nervous. My wife's a teacher, so she also has a job. So luckily she has a job and I was able to get a loan, which I'm trying not to spend. I also built a studio.
Bloody hell. Yeah, you have been busy.
I have this, you can't really see, but I've got, like, all my stuff set up, and I built a full studio in my garage. So that's where I produced and recorded. Well, I didn't produce it, but we didn't track it here. It wasn't ready yet, but that's pretty much where I'm going to be recording everything moving forward for Censusville. So I built a studio, as part of, I forgot that. That's where I currently am in the studio.
Well, nice. Well, yeah. Who'll produce? Do you have an idea for producing for the next Censusville record, or?
I'm probably going to self-produce that along with our old drummer, our original drummer, Dan, and we're probably going to produce it ourselves. The new record, the one that's done and that is going to come out next year, was produced by Bo Burchell of Seosin, and it was mixed by Ken Andrews, who he's mixed Paramore, N83, Jimmy World, tons of people. And he mixed it and just finished mastering it. So that's going to come out. We have a whole rollout plan, because, you know, things are all different now because you can't just, like, there's no touring, no live show. And I'm not, like, real stoked on the live streams. Like, I'd like to try to avoid it if at all possible. It's just not something that I'm personally stoked about doing. It's the band is all separated. We're all over the country. And so it would be just having to get everybody together to do a live stream. It's just, I mean, I think we're going to do it eventually, but it's not high on my list of priorities.
Yeah. Because one of the things I was going to mention, Billy, is the fact that at the start of the year, there seemed to be a lot of excitement coming from yourself and online going into the studio to record these new songs. Obviously, you've just said that all that is now done and mastered and everything. But what can you tell us about this new music? Because it seemed that you were excited as ever to get back in the studio and be creative.
Yeah, I mean, I really am. I think it's the best thing personally I've done. I mean, I'm taking over the role of being the main songwriter. I played, you know, played guitar, and pretty much the most I've been involved. I mean, obviously, like, as you know, and when the band started, I was just the singer. Obviously, I gave my input on things, but mainly my contribution was lyrics and melody. And now it's, I mean, I'm starting from scratch. So yeah, I guess it kind of, if I had to pick what it sounds like, it'd be like if you took some of our heavier, darker stuff and mixed it with like Still Searching era. So it's like a modern take on probably what, like, a Still Searching record vibe. It's sort of a bigger undertaking. The last record was kind of, I don't know, more like, you know, pop punk kind of upbeat. You know, the lyrical content was obviously pretty heavy and could be dark at times, but overall had like a vibe that was a little bit more carefree. This is definitely like a darker overall journey. I'm really excited about it. You know, it's weird to have something done for so long and then be waiting so long for it to come out that I think when it does come out, it's going to be strange to be like, oh yeah, that, like, it's just weird. You know, you get super stoked, you make something, you record it and you put it out into the world, and you get this like gratification of like what you did. But this is like really going to be really delayed, but I think it's really helped because I've been able to really, really, really fine tune it and sonically spend time. I mean, I spent 6 weeks mastering it. I don't think I've spent longer than a week on mastering in the entirety of my career, let alone, you know, once you get in the studio, you've got your release date set. So you're kind of like all racing towards this goal. Whereas this is like this open-ended, like, we think it's going to come out now, you know, X. And I'd really like to avoid releasing it without being able to tour. I mean, I've just put so much time and effort into it that I really don't want it to become just something that comes out in sort of a vacuum. I've seen how, you know, some bands have had success with it. Like, I think it works better for pop music.
Yeah. I feel like, some bands have kind of done it over this period, and it's almost as like, it's been like a throwaway album. It's almost like you're just filling the void for now, even though you've put, you know, some bands have put 2 years work into an album that was meant to come out this year. And now they've had to put it out and they can't do anything with it other than just promote that. And yeah, it just feels like a kind of a throwaway. So yeah, I completely understand your thinking that way. So yeah.
And that's why I'm just trying to avoid that. And I'm just trying to, like, I really don't want to do that. I put so much time and effort into it that I'm trying to create other releases to fill that void of, like, you know, hey, I've got this, we did this cool thing with Save the Day. And I mean, I've got a ton of other songs, but we're going to start rolling out the record and new music early next year. So it's going to be probably closer to like what Bring Me just did, where they kind of just released a bunch of songs and then kind of an EP appeared. I think that's more along the, we're going to treat it a little different than your standard record. And then, but hopefully by the end of it, it'll be time to, you know, go on tour. And we have our tour. I mean, we're going to do the same tour. We have this tour with Bayside and Hawthorne Heights planned that we've, that's still the first tour we're going to do. I don't really want to be like the guinea pig for what it's going to be like. So I think it's a really good tour because it's such a strong package, and half the shows are already sold out to begin with. So it's like, I feel like it'll be good for us all to go out together and have a successful tour. And it'll be good for just everybody involved, including venues and stuff like that. Whereas, like, I think if we went out on our own, there's going to be, everybody is going to get the green light like all at once. And
do you know what? I never thought at that point you were making then of like, everyone's, when the green light goes, everyone's going to be running to tour. And the best idea is that package too. Like, I never even thought of that. That's clever. Let me write this out. Get a package tour, Sean.
But
for fuck's sake.
But yeah, I mean, obviously it's such a confusing time with all that. But on a brighter note, I mean, Christmas is coming up. So, you know, we should get a bit festive because you have just released two Christmas songs, covers of some holiday tracks, a bit special to your heart. I was going to ask how these came about. I, you know, after all these years, why now put Christmas songs out? But I did read that your stepfather's been grinding on for years trying to release some holiday music.
That the key to success is Christmas songs. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, honestly, they live. I mean, if you can get a Christmas songs and they live in infamy for forever. You know, I mean, look at the Christmas songs that you got. I just don't foresee. It's never rock songs. Christmas, like, well, I mean, you know, Paul McCartney's got a couple, and John Lennon. You know, he's not wrong. You got to do a bunch. I think you got to, like, I think maybe I'm going to try for the rest of my life to get a Christmas hit. And once a year, I'll release two Christmas songs in hopes that one of them ends up becoming my my Paul McCartney moment or whatever. I can Whamageddon people. And I'd also like to do Bruce Springsteen. So next year, I'm probably going to go with those two. It's fun. It's festive. It's easy. It's especially with the way that like Spotify and things work now with playlisting, you know, I mean, it's just sort of like, if you like now that I have a studio, you know, and can like just record things without having to spend any money to make something, like there's, you know, spending $5,000 or more to make a Christmas song. That's always been why we haven't done it. What's the point? Unless there was like somebody who was like, hey, we need a Christmas song from you. And that's never happened. Well, it did. One label who reached out to us years ago was like, we want a Christmas song from you guys. And I was like, well, I can only do this one Christmas song. And they're like, yeah, that's not what we want. And they refused to do it. So I refused to be a part of it. That's also the other reason is the Christmas songs I want to cover aren't the Christmas songs that anybody wants to hear.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, like, when was the last massive Christmas song that came out? Like, what was the last one you can think of that came out that is still played today? Like, they're all old. Like, nobody's written, like, an updated classic, I suppose, in the Christmas genre. So maybe that's fallen to you now.
Well, I think one of the things is you don't, it's not an immediate gratification. You're kind of like laying the groundwork. I think what it is like maybe 20 years from now, the Christmas song I do becomes a hit. It's not, I think that Christmas songs work. It's like, I mean, that's even apparent with Mariah Carey. The Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas was a big song, but now it's like apparently so massive and it's time that you got to, first of all, be old. You have to be an old person, which I'm approaching that.
Yeah, same age.
Yeah, and it has to be old. I'm going to start putting out stuff now, so by the time I'm 50, I could be like fully in like a Christmas success mode.
Smart.
It's kind of like the band Slade. The band Slade, every Christmas they have that song, "It's Christmas!" where he yells that or whatever. And then April comes round and he's made like a million pounds because his PRS has come in for Christmas. So
yeah, that's all you gotta do. But it's a slow burn. It's not the immediate payoff. So yeah. I feel like you know, maybe I'll see the benefits in like 20 years.
Yeah. Well, it's the long game, isn't it? It's waiting out for the long game. But I mean, what is a typical Christmas for you? I mean, what's a typical Christmas in the Buddy Nielsen household? What do you normally get up to?
Well, we travel. I mean, usually we travel. 2 years ago, we went to London. We did the Christmas park in Hyde Park, which was, we tried to meet Santa, and it took us 3 days.
Bloody winter wonderland.
Yeah, winter wonderland. And it took 3 days. I mean, we didn't wait in line for 3 days, but I mean...
Camping out.
Well, yeah, we ended up, you know, we went once. Man, I didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't know it was the massive thing that it, you know, talk about where a virus would spread.
Yeah, like, I don't think they do it this year, which is lucky, thank God.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty fun. And so we usually travel. I'm either visiting my family in New York, or I'm going on like, you know, just a sort of a travel trip. My wife's family is from Peru, so we have a lot of options and we're usually traveling, and that's like a big thing for us. But when I always make food, it's like, I think the dinner for me is the biggest thing. I'm not like, as I've gotten older and I don't, gift giving and stuff like that has become less important. I don't really like that aspect of it. I think it's kind of like the stressful. Look, I like getting people things. It's not about that, but it's just about the like the time crunch and the figuring. And it's
yeah, it's deadlines and it's fucking making people do stuff. You know, yeah, I get the vibe.
I don't love that aspect, and I don't need anything. So it's like, it's, you know, but for my daughter, it's fun. And but really, cooking, I mean, that's one of the big things. And it's weird because people from New Jersey, like, I'm not Italian, but because I'm from New Jersey, I'm like partially keyed in on what Italians do for holidays. And so we do this thing. Last year we made a porchetta, and I'm going to make porchetta this year, which is like, if you know anything about it, it's pretty cool piece of meat. It's like a pork loin and pork belly with the skin on, and you roll it up and you season it inside, you roll it up, and then you actually make like crackling on the outside by you drip hot oil over it, and then that becomes like crackling, and then we do like a meatballs and spaghetti and an antipasta, and then we do a bunch of salads, and we have a whole thing, and then a whole dessert. So for me, really, like, my tradition, my thing revolves around the food. And yeah, I like traveling. My biggest thing is I like traveling. I like being, you know, like when you're in Germany, you go to the Christmas markets, you know, that's super fun. I always like the traveling and the visiting other places. And that's really what gets me festive. Like this year, I do not feel in any way as normally excited about, you know, I live in LA, so it's, you know, 75 degrees out. It's, there is no, for me growing up on the East Coast, you know, we got a massive tree in Rockefeller Center and everything's got Christmas lights and it's cold and, you know, it's just, it gets you in the vibe. Here it's like 75 and, you know, we're worried about like fires and
t-shirts and shorts at Christmas.
Yeah, it's a little, so that's also why I like traveling, to sort of get back in the weather and get back in the spirit. And I like it. I like the like wind down of the year. It's probably my favorite time of the year. Just sort of like the wind down time. Everybody gets time off and you get to sort of take a break from everything and then recenter and refocus. And yeah, I don't know if it has that same vibe this year. Maybe you guys in the UK, you'll have like a semi-normal Christmas, even though I did see like a bunch of people in front of Harrods with no masks on. I didn't.
No, yeah, I think that's just idiots protesting, I think, not Christmas.
I think you guys will have like a little bit more normal than what we're going to have. I mean, like where I currently am, we're in full on shutdown. You guys just came out of, and we're going to have that through the beginning of next year. So, you know, it's just going to be muted. I mean, we don't get to see any family. And I mean, I'm sure you can, if you want to take that risk, but we're not going to. So we're probably going to camp in the middle of the desert.
I wanted to ask, how did the Misfits covers come about with Saves the Day? Because what a band Saves the Day are as well. So how did that come about?
I mean, we've been friends a long time, Chris and I, and we've toured together, and we have the same manager now. And I think I was talking to our manager just about like, hey, we should, I don't know what to do. Like, we should do something, you know. I want to do, what if we do some Halloween songs? What if we covered AFI or whatever? And, you know, I want to do this Christmas thing. And, you know, he's like, well, what? Well, you know, he threw out the idea. What if we do a Misfits cover? You know, and I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, like, let's do that. And he was like, well, what if Saves the Day does it? We do a split. And it just sort of rolled and, you know, all came together. And we both have studios. And we're self-sufficient, meaning that like we don't have to really spend any money to make the songs, which makes it super easy and useful to do, you know. So it's like, because that's always the barrier for a lot of bands is, okay, well, then we got to get everybody in the studio and we got to spend money. And then really, what's the, not payoff, but like, you know, does the cost outweigh reward? And for me now, and that's why I have the studio, and that's why Chris has had a studio for a long time. You know, we can just sort of bang things out if it's a good idea and we're fired up. So. But yeah, I was immediately like, yeah, let's do this. And then they kind of like rolled into the artwork, which ended up being perfect. And then, I don't know, it was super fun. It was super easy. And it was just meant to be like just what it was. You know, I only did a couple hundred pieces of vinyl, or maybe we did 1,000 or 500. I don't know. But they sold out in like a couple hours. And yeah, it was just meant to be like, hey, we're going to be doing these little things every now and then. And, you know, here you go.
Yeah, I think it's always super cool when like two bands can get together and like release a split or work on like a exciting project on that. But one thing I wanted to mention is like, do you find that yourself and Chris have a lot of like similarities on the way how both bands have transformed and being in the scene over the years? Do you think there is a lot of similarities between the two?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think I was directly influenced to make the kind of music I make. Because of through being cool and stay what you are. So, you know, being both from New Jersey and we're influenced and we're in the same local scenes. I mean, there's a lot of similarities and also too, just how like, you know, he's the only founding member of the band and I'm the only founding member of, you know, Census Fail that's still in the band. And, you know, yeah, there's so many similarities between just like You know, we've done records that are kind of out of the box too. I mean, that's the thing, is we've taken some shots at doing some things that didn't necessarily like appeal to the fan base. You know, and I think we've always wanted to both not conform, but, and then we both paid the price for not doing that. But again, I think we're in this for the long haul because we like being musicians. Like, I don't think I ever won't be making music until the day I die, you know, and same thing with Chris. We even have like the same, I did a podcast with him that I'm putting out this week. He's actually the first episode we're putting out is the one I did with Chris. And then we just did like a podcast together for Spin. And we both realized that we're influenced by this one interview that Neil Young did that where he talks about how, like, if you're a musician for long enough, I mean, you play bars, you play clubs, you play stadiums, you play arenas, and then you know, it's like this long journey that's up and down. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, when you're a musician your whole life, it's not all success and it's not all failure. It's like this wave you ride. And, you know, that always influenced me to be like, yeah, man, like, it's just like, you got to accept that, like, a lot of bands will break up once they, you know, they have their peak and then they start to go like this and a lot of people just jump off, you know. What happens is you kind of ride this thing and the main thing that keeps you there is that you love and need to make music. So I would say that's, we have a lot in common, and specifically passion for music above it just being, you know, I think when you're young and you're in a band, it's not just about the music, because it's like, you're young. You don't really have a fully fleshed out idea of what you even want to do with your life. And I think a lot of people get in a band and then they're successful and they realize, yo, I don't like touring, or I don't like traveling, or I actually don't like music.
Yeah.
Or someone, you know, they're like, dude, I actually don't like music, and that's why I play bass.
That is true.
That
is the job for them.
Bass player obviously can end up being the most musical,
but
most of the time the bass player is like, yo, this guy is like literally just here because he has nowhere else to go. And one of the
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
So yeah. You know, the drummer is obviously usually super like, yo, I'm a fucking drummer.
It's because they gotta carry everything, that's why.
You gotta be really invested, you know. Bass player is like the least amount of work. Though you can fuck up the most as the bass player, like you could be fucking up right and left, and pretty much as long as you're staying, you know, in the rhythm, like it's really not that noticeable. So yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have the a couple of podcast episodes in the bag? Can you?
Yeah, I've got like 17. I finished. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I mean, I wanted to get like a backlog.
Yeah.
Before I think
it's definitely the best thing to do.
Yeah. Well, scrambling as it's unfolding is stressful, but also like you want to be able to release them consistently to really start to gain any kind of momentum.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing this now for, this will be 107, week 107 coming Friday now, that we've put one out every Friday. So, it's a very good idea to get a backlog, try and save as many as you can. Yeah. Can you let us know what other guests you've got, or are you just going to keep them and then?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of rant. I mean, the premise of it is I ask people what the record is that changed their life. Like, what's your record that changed your life, and how did it change your life? And, you know, it opens it up. You know, some of them get real serious, and then some of them are way more like nerdy about music, you know, and, you know, musicality. And then some of them are peers my age, like Bo from Seosin. I talked to restaurateurs in Los Angeles who have a couple like up and coming really good restaurants. It's one place called Wax Paper. I talked to a tattoo artist friend of mine who was on Ink Master.
Nice. Who's that? Is that Oliver Peck?
No, not Oliver. Oh. This girl, Ashley. She actually got kicked off in like the first like three episodes. She's like a infamous person of Ink Master, but she was kind of manipulated, taken advantage of. But then I talked to, you know, some newer up and coming people like Courtney LaPlante from this band called Spirit Box.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of all over the place, you know, trying to really like be as diversified as possible. I kind of wanted to come up with a concept that I could talk to anyone.
Yeah, in the first episode, do you divulge what your record was? Or
No, I haven't done mine yet. No, mine would be...
I was going to say.
It's hard because it's like there's kind of a difference between the one you like the most and the one that you have to figure out, like, what affected you most. So it's kind of hard.
I know, yeah. I'm stuck between two, really. Yeah.
It could end up being a record you hate or something, you know, and that's what's kind of interesting about the conversation. Sometimes it's not so like, it's like, I hate this record, but it absolutely changed my life. I don't know. My record, my favorite record, the one I always come back to, the one I like still listen to, and the one that like changed me from wanting to like make music as like a emotional art form was this Jets of Brazil record. It's called Orange Rhyming Dictionary, and the singer of Jets of Brazil was the singer of Jawbreaker, and lyrically it really shifted my mind and opened my mind to like lyrics and words as a real like portal into experiencing life in a different way, you know. Whereas I'd never really gotten that from another band. So yeah, and that sort of took me on a tangent over here and took me away from what I was. And I found it at a time that I sort of was experiencing those first sort of like dark things that happen, you know, whereas like I was like, what, 17 and 9/11 had just happened. Well, I'd heard it before then, but I came back to it in that time frame when I had a friend, you know, it's the first person you know when you're young who dies. It's kind of a pivotal moment when you're like, oh, wow, somebody my age died. I'm like, what does that do? That had just happened after 9/11. So I started listening to this record more. It's a record about suicide too. So it's a pretty dark record, but lyrically it's I don't know. It's just really changed my life. And that would probably be it. Or, you know, I could say like Metallica. I mean, when I was in fifth grade, the first CD I got that was like part of my musical journey was Metallica Master of Puppets. And I think that when I got Master of Puppets, I got Smash by Offspring, and I got this weird like compilation Red Hot Chili Peppers record of all their like funk stuff. So like I was not stoked about that. And did like Offspring, but there was just something about the aggression and the, you know, just that Metallica record. It's like, so I don't know. I'd have to like really sit down and figure out, like calculate, like, you know, which one changed me more. Cause it's like, you know, it depends when you hear something, if it's going to change you and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I think it's a pretty fun concept just because you never know what you're going
to
get.
Very good. Yeah. It's a very good concept.
You could talk to actors, writers. I mean, really anyone.
Anyone. Yeah. As long as they've got ears and they've heard music, that's it. Really, that's nailed it. Like, yeah. What a good idea. Got me thinking about my favorite bloody records now.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because then you start to like. At first, it sounds like a real obvious thing, you know, like, oh yeah, I'll just pick my favorite record. But then you're like, man, like, you know,
well, like you said, I'd have to go for. I'd have to consider, well, was it the album that got me into rock music, or was it the album that changed me when I was already into rock music?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you don't know. It's hard. That's sort of the fun to it, is like, what aspect of it too? And then, you know, how did it affect you? And, you know, you start to like kind of learn a lot about somebody by whatever changed them, you know. And there's only been one repeat so far, and it was like the most obscure record. It was just so random. It's this Millencolin record called Life on a Plate, which two of my friends, the bass player of Man Overboard and then the drummer of, he's currently the drummer of Dan and Shay. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're like this new band. So he's the drummer of Dan and Shay was also the drummer of Receiving End of Sirens. And
nice.
It was just this Millencolin record. Like, never in a million years would I have thought that would be the first one to repeat. I thought it was going to be like something, you know, something, you know, take off your pants and jacket or Enema of the State. I thought it would be something like Green Day, Dookie, or, you know, I don't know. I just thought it would, but I did not. And within the first 20 episodes, you have like one repeat, and it was the most obscure one that, you know, most people don't know. And most people don't even know the band. They're a Swedish pop punk band from, like, I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but
They were big. Well, they did well because of Tony Hawk Pro Skater as well. Tony Hawk, yeah, they were on.
Yeah, that song "No Cigar" and Tony Hawk, and I don't know, but it was. I was expecting, you know, something like big, you know, Enema of the State to be.
Mm. Yeah. Have you had anybody on? Have you had anybody on who's ashamed of their first favorite record or whatever?
Not yet. That's what I'm excited for. I'm excited for the shame, like, you know, like. I really want someone to come on who hates the record that changed them. I really don't like that my record is like Disturbed or.
Well, yeah.
Trapped would be like a really good one. You'd be like,
was I'm that Trapped?
Yeah. And I'm absolutely embarrassed that the Trapped, Headstrong, whatever garbage record that song was on is like, that changed my life. I do regret that changed my life.
Yeah, he's not having a good time. Oh, they got banned off Twitter today, yeah, I think. Trapped. Yeah, good. That'll fucking teach him the trick.
I'm looking forward to hearing more of these stories on the podcast and everything. But one thing I really wanted to talk about is that, obviously, I'm sure you're aware of this, but 2021 is actually the 20th year anniversary of Senses Fail. I'm sure you've got...
Technically, it's 2022.
Oh, nice. Ooh. One, Morgan. I told him you were a journalist. And you... Bloody hell.
Well, if you're... Okay, so what the first ever actual real show we played was in 2021, so it is... You're right, but metrics of, like, what we... When we actually count as we, like, fully officially started... I mean, we played like, two shows... in 2001, and then we like disbanded for like 2 months because we just couldn't find a drummer, and then we found a drummer in February 2002, and so that's what we count as our official start. But so we're gonna 2022 is gonna be the 20 year anniversary. Because it's better this way anyways, because we have a year to like get back up to speed, and you know, I'm much happier that it's not 2021 and we can hopefully have 2021 is like a rebuilding year to get it back on track, and then in 2022 we could do our 20 year anniversary, which will be... There are other anniversaries. We're gonna re-put out most of our vinyl next year for Vagrant's 25th year anniversary. So Vagrant is having their 25th year anniversary, and all of our records except for... Not, that's not true. We have one record that came out on Drive-Thru. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 that came out on Vagrant. And then we have 2, about to be 3, that have come out on Pure Noise. So yeah, we're going to be re-releasing some of the Vagrant releases. So there will be anniversary stuff. And then we do have 20-year anniversary plans. Eventually going to start working on... I actually just got all the stems and the Pro Tools sessions for Still Searching, Lives in the Waiting Room, and The Fire, which we recorded with McTernan, as well as all the B-sides and stuff. So there's definitely like songs that have never been properly released, as well as some things we'd like to remaster and remix. So that's going to factor in at some point into stuff, you know, probably do some type of like B-side release, which would be cool since we had a bunch of weird songs on like, I don't know, like Wipeout, Burnout. I don't know. Like, we had some... Like,
anything without in the title. Wipeout, Burnout.
Burnout. We had like a song on a Punisher soundtrack. We, you know, we've got a cover on the remake of Bad News Bears. Like, we just got some weird songs all over the place. And it would be cool to put them all in like one release. It's just a proper thing that I think a lot of older bands do. You know, it's kind of a nice, like, hey, here's a bunch of like stuff that's always been out there but never really got put onto anything. Like, let's shove it into one thing. Put that out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, hopefully you won't have too many hipster emos like myself trying to crack you on the anniversary and stuff. But besides that, I mean, when you look back and have time like this now to kind of reflect on a lot of things, is it just quite insane to think that you're almost at that milestone and have done so much in that time and being able to just travel the world, play with some of your favorite bands and make all this music?
Yeah, I mean, the goal was always to get here. I think, you know, as far back as I can remember, you know, I really wanted to be like a lifelong band. It was a real, like, we made a lot of decisions that at the time might have put us in a better situation to have success. Like, you know, immediately, like, there were a couple major label decisions we made and things that probably from the perspective at the time would have set us up maybe for greater success, but we always sort of veered towards wanting to try to be here, make decisions to be around for 20 years. And, you know, I mean, 10 years is a cool milestone, but you know, 20 years is, there's not many that make it to 20 years, you know, like we could probably sit around here and count on our hands. I don't count if you break up and then get back together. There's a hiatus and, you know, but like, there's a lot of bands that like broke up and then took 5 years off and got back together. I'm like, were you around 20 years? Like, you weren't active for five. So we've been active for the entire time. So yeah, I mean, I know I'm super proud of that. And, I think it's definitely something to celebrate. It takes you either get super lucky, you get so big that no matter what, it's hard to derail it because you're so big that it's just like, you just can't really fuck it up. But that's usually not the case. So there, you kind of have to persevere through, persevere in a reinvention and like finding what it is. I mean, there's so much that's changed between, you know, 2001, 2002, where we currently are. I mean, so we got to constantly like learn new skills and, if I mean, podcast didn't exist.
That is crazy. Yeah.
It didn't exist then. And it's like, it's an integral part of kind of what you got to do. If you want to like continue to make music, you have to have more content than just music. Can't necessarily just rely on your music being your sole form of content now. And you got to make more content and like, you know, so there's just, but that wasn't necessarily the case 5 years ago, you know, yeah. Or 10 years ago. It was like, everything's changing and you just kind of have to like be okay with the fact that like, sometimes you'll be ahead of the wave, you know, and you'll like, when we first started, we were just kind of like ahead of the wave. We were on the wave as it was forming. We didn't have to like look around and go, what should we do? You know? And then that wave sort of crests. And then you go, oh shit, now we're like trying to catch another wave. And like, that's difficult. So you know, if you could just, I'm just going to keep going with the metaphors, you know, if you can tread water, stay alive, then that's really the bulk of what you do, you know? And then eventually like you'll survive and not just survive, but you know, you'll come to hopefully a place where your fan base also like, I don't want to say needs you, but like, there's this weird thing that happens when people listen to music when they're young and then they go through their growth phase and then they come back to the things that they once really liked when they were young. And I think everybody does that. It's a natural process of being a human being, you know, to like love something, have it, you know, affect you, go out into the world, kind of find your place, try on a bunch of different things, and then sort of settle into like who you are and maybe rediscover like some of the things from your past that like brought you joy or whatever. And they don't tell you about that in the music industry. They just sort of tell you that like what is happening now is the only thing that's ever going to happen, and worrying about now is really your only chance of success. When in reality is like, if you can create a fan base and just sort of stay true, like people will come and go, and you know, you can find yourself being an older musician, like, I don't want to say selling nostalgia, but being like a linchpin or like a like an integral part of a specific era of music, you know, what they would call like a legacy band, you know, which is what I feel like Senseless Fail is and has become. And I mean, I feel like I have to work harder. I mean, I'm competing against records people that have changed people's lives. So, but it's great. It's great. It's amazing to still have a fan base and to still feel like by not only continuing to make meaningful music that discusses relevant things that we're all dealing with, but also, you know, I can still go out and like play those records and songs for people that remind them of their youth. And like, that's super fun too. Like that's powerful. And I think at times I've been like real hesitant to realize that that's a good thing. You know, we fall into the trap of like, well, I, you know, I don't, that's the past and that's not, you know, I don't want to be known for that, but it's like, I don't know. Like it's also a really powerful thing to be able to like be someone's youth. Like that, that's a really cool thing. And then I didn't really get that perspective until I've aged and I'm like, oh yeah, that band rips. And I'm like, whoa, that's weird that I'm that to someone, you know, like that's super cool. And finally that I've been able to like become mature enough to arrive at that perspective to know, like, it's not an insult when someone's telling me that they used to listen to me in high school. You know what I mean? Like at first, there's this weird gray area where you're like, fuck, man. Like, well, cool. Thanks. I'm glad you used to listen to us in high school. But, oh, fuck. Like, that's never going to leave somebody. Whereas there's so many aspects of your life that you go in and out of, but you like never really lose that identity of, I used to listen to that band in high school. Like that, that's a permanent identity that people always carry around with them. Whereas like the band you listened to when you were 24 and into like some weird shit and, you know, that band, I don't know, like that's not a permanent band, you know, like even though it may be cooler and better technically, it doesn't necessarily define identity in the same way. So it's kind of cool to be a band. I kind of look, and my whole perspective of emo changed from like being something like lame to really just being like, oh, this is just like new wave goth music. It's just, it was just like the reiteration of new wave and goth. Like it was a joke to people on the outside and was like, oh, look at all these dark, you know, funny looking kids. And then, you know, it has this long lasting legacy that just brings people a lot of like happiness and joy. And really, honestly, there was some really good music made. And, you know, some of those bands are the greatest bands to ever exist. So I kind of like look at the emo thing in a lens of like, oh, it's just kind of like a reiteration of what the new wave, you know, sort of goth movement was.
Yeah. Nice. I like, yeah, I love the way you put it, and I love,
yeah, very yeah, well said.
I love that way of thinking. So
very well said.
Yeah, it's, yeah, awesome. Thank you. That was brilliant. So,
and with all that as well, like, obviously just being able to reflect, is there any like moments that really stick out from you from the last kind of 20 years, just that when you get time to think back on that blow you away, or like experiences you've had or people you've met along the way?
I mean we definitely had a lot of meaningful, memorable acquaintances, and you know, those are a little more complicated to like think about. I mean, they don't necessarily just come to mind, but I mean, I've made, you know, countless friends and lifelong partners and relationships. But
have you, okay then, have you met any of your kind of like musical heroes or anything then?
Definitely for sure. I mean, I don't really like doing that, you know, because I can like, I kind of like the mysteriousness of that, but I definitely have, I mean, Chris from Saves the Day, I mean, Bad Religion, you know, a lot. I mean, I've been lucky enough to pretty much tour and play with everybody that ever really influenced me, which is pretty damn cool. But yeah, I mean, you know, things that stick out are definitely like, you know, some of the, like the first Taste of Chaos was really just like, I think one of those like lightning in a bottle kind of crazy. There's one show that just like always sticks out of my head. It was the first Taste of Chaos. It was my 21st birthday. Paramore opened for the entire show. I think it went Paramore, Static Lullaby, Seos and Senseless Fail, Killswitch Engage, Mike M. It's just like, I don't know, it's just like, but I remember everyone being like, who is this band? When I was young, I was 21, but I was looking at Paramore and be like, who are these children that are opening? Yep. What band is this?
My old band went out on their first UK tour over here. Yeah, like Hayley had her parents with her every night, and yeah, it was very, very strange, but fair play to them. I don't know what they've done since. I can't remember if they've done anything since that tour with us. But
so, but yeah, I mean, that's a crazy moment. Kind of the MyChem crew as they blew up. I mean, that was just crazy because it's like, you know, there's only so many bands that get that big. I mean, ever, period. So like, like touring with them when that happened was pretty wild. We, you know, I mean, regardless of what they currently are and, you know, how you feel about them, we were also on tour with Brand New when they put out Deja, and that was wild. I mean, like, that was crazy because we were playing like 300 cap venues, but they had just put out Deja, and like, that was, I mean, that was another wild thing to be around because that record got so big so quick in the middle of the tour. It was just like, the shows were like, I mean, there were people, like, there were literally people showing up, like hundreds of people, and they couldn't get into the show. You know, it was like, it was massively underbooked, and not even on purpose, just because that's how big the band was at the time. And the tour was booked maybe 8 months before. And, you know, nobody knew that they were going to put out this record that was going to blow up. So that was fucking crazy to be around. I mean, like, you know, we were around in the same area as Thursday when that whole thing happened, and Coheed and Cambria. I mean, it was just a wild thing to go from seeing Take It Back Sunday play to Legion Hall to being like talked about on, you know, ESPN and SportsCenter. It was weird. It was surreal. It was, as being in it, it didn't seem, you didn't have perspective, but now having the perspective, you know, I think the Warped Tour in 2005, I mean, it was just like, I mean, it was insane. It was just like Fall Out Boy, All American Rejects, and I mean, Offspring. I mean, it was just like the biggest, and the amount of people. The one thing I always remember is it was impossible to walk through the crowd because, again, the venues, you know, are booked a year or so before or whatever, and that specific music scene blew up in that year. And so they were like sold out venues, and these venues aren't meant to be sold out because they're so big, you know, they're not like, they're like, quote unquote, you know, they have a capacity, but they don't, but they like do. It's because they're usually just like, it's like a field or whatever attached to a amphitheater. But I mean, there were so many people at these shows that like, you couldn't move throughout the crowd to get to the stage or to get to, and that's when people started getting like bodyguards, which was like, it was so, that was also a really weird moment too, when I'm like, wow, okay, so the guy from Yellow Card is a bodyguard, like
oh, Ryan,
yeah, like, you know, and just being like, wow, like, I guess like we're here, that's like, what I mean, you know what I mean, like
Yeah,
I just, you know, and then like people start like dating famous people. That was interesting too. Like when Pete Wentz, you know, you're like, oh, so you're dating Ashley or like Bert from Used. You're like, I know.
Kelly Osbourne.
Yeah, but it was just
Osbourne and Bert. Yeah.
It was just a weird thing to like kind of like pick your head up from like, oh yeah, like 2 years ago, we were just like playing at Legion Halls and now we're literally playing in sold out arenas. That was just, I mean, the perspective of it when you're in it again is just not there. But now when you look at it from an outside perspective and you're like, whoa, like that's crazy. Like crazy. I mean, we did one tour that was like Reggie and the Full Effect headlined, Midtown was direct support, and then it was MyChem and us, you know, it's like just some of these tours that happened are just really, really cool that we were able to be a part of them. And, you know, we've still gone on to do like some really cool, awesome tours. Got to do the last Warped Tour, and that's always gonna be memorable too, you know, for me to be, hopefully, I mean, you know what, part of me hopes he brings it back because like, I feel like people need it. like I'd be bummed because it's like, I feel like I did the last one. I don't want to lose that. Like I want to do the last one, but we'll see. I don't know if he, I don't know. I heard him say something, but I haven't asked him. I don't think he's going to bring him back. I don't know. Maybe will.
Oh, it would be good. Definitely. something needs to happen. Some sort of tour needs to happen like that, I think, over there again, because it's just become such like an institution and just kind of, yeah, just brilliant summer for the last, you know,
yeah, but the problem,
5 years or whatever.
It just didn't, it, to a younger generation, it didn't have the same, like, meaning. So really encapsulate their music scene and their music style. So I get it. It was kind of detached from that. You know, I don't know. Maybe it works better as like a Reading and Leeds type. I like the way they ended it, and they did one East Coast, one West Coast, 2 days. I thought that might be the model for it moving forward. They were massively successful, and as you guys know, people like traveling to a festival for a weekend, you know, do a thing. It's you know, like a lot of the places in the US, they don't need a massive tour. Like, you don't gotta take the tour to a good part of the country. It's like when we've done like 14-day UK tours, like, you know, do we really need to go to like Exeter, you know, wherever? Even though I think it's super fun. Like, I love, we played the cave right in Exeter. The cavern. What is
the
it?
The cavern, yeah. The Exeter Cavern, yeah.
You know, but you don't like most bands, you come over, do 5 days. Like, you don't gotta do 14. But same thing. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that'd be cool. It'd be nice thing to look forward to.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice. This, awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you very much for this. This has been awesome.
Yeah, absolutely lovely. I've loved all the stories, and it's just being another fantastic insight. So yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. Yeah, good luck with everything. And hopefully that one day, next year, we get to do one of these in the flesh, hopefully, in the UK.
Yeah, thank you, guys. All right. Have a good holidays. Bye, guys. You're listening to Sappy Podcast!
Yeah! Hey! Don't know why I wear Mexican, eh? But thank you again to Buddy Nielsen of the legendary Senses Fail. It was a fantastic chat. Mm-hmm. I was worried beforehand. I don't know why.
You're getting worried a lot lately with guests. What's wrong? Are you okay?
I don't know. I think, well, not really. I'm having a bad time. But apart from that, apart from the stuff that's going beyond the behind the scenes, yeah, which is literally devastating, that we're laughing now.
Yeah, we shouldn't laugh at, really.
Let's keep laughing so I don't start crying on the podcast. Yeah, I was a little bit worried about talking to Buddy because we'd never spoken before. And I just think instantly everybody who meets me is instantly going to think I'm a massive dick. So, which is why we've got you here to, you know, be the flip to my dick. So you'd
what?
Be a poof. I don't know. I've gone mad. I started thinking about all the shit that's going on behind the scenes, okay, and I'm lost.
Okay, well, I appreciate the sentiment because, as like, you know, as you know, I'm full of emo knowledge. So, you know, just stick me in front of a legendary emo musician and it's magic as it can be. But yeah, great to have Buddy on. I loved it. And of course, Senses Fail's new Christmas 2-track EP is available now, titled Christmas Has Been Cancelled Due to Lack of Hustle. And do remember that this split EP with Saves the Day for those Misfits cover is also able to stream worldwide too. In that conversation, though, there was a little bit where he was on about doing his big thing for Christmas is doing food. Now, Sean and I, during that segment, were literally just staring at the screen, almost drooling. That's probably why we were so quiet when you were saying that. So my question to you, Sean, is what is your ideal meal for the festive period? Is there anything in particular you look forward to at this time that makes it for you?
Well, it's been well documented. By well documented, I have mentioned it twice or three times before, that my mother, Jan, creates the greatest Sunday dinner of all time. And she could do that every Sunday. She could do that every Sunday. But on Christmas, I don't know why. Because, yeah, she doesn't believe in little sweet baby Jesus. But I don't know why. She pulls out all of the stops.
Wow.
And, yeah, Christmas dinner is an event at my house, and my mother is the best Christmas dinner maker on earth. And that's not an opinion.
It's a fact.
You know, that's not hearsay. Yeah, that's not rumour. It's a literal fact.
Mm.
So if anybody at all wants to challenge my mother to a Christmas cook-off, fucking bring it on. Send your pictures
to Instagram and Twitter at SappeningPod. That's at SAPPENINPOD. And challenge, I want to see you at Christmas dinner, because I know it's got fuck all on my mother's, whether you like it or not. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Christmas dinner. Sprouts, parsnips, chicken, Yorkshire puds, peas, carrots, cauliflower cheese. I'm looking, I gotta look away, but I'm so excited.
You're making me hungry just by you listing all of this. But it's a good thing we're in restrictions and I can't come over for this Christmas dinner. I have been invited anyway, so I'm not gonna invite myself. I can't. We're banned.
I'm just about to say, yeah, an invite would have helped, like, but an invite definitely would have been the start, but it's definitely not happening. But
just to say as well that my favorite thing about Christmas, and this just kind of shows how I'm a little fat boy inside, but I get very excited because I have these, it's basically cheese wrapped in bacon instead of like pigs in blankets, is cheese wrapped in bacon, right? And
cheese in blankets.
Yeah. And heavenly. It's my favourite thing. I look forward to it every single year.
But you've tried pigs in blankets?
Yeah.
And you think cheese in blankets is better?
Oh, yes.
You're fucking wrong, and you're a grotesquely ugly freak.
Wow.
That's from a TV show called The Day to Day. So yeah, don't worry about that. That was just a joke. But yeah, cheese over sausages is mental to me. Oh. Good. Don't get me wrong. if there's just cheese and bacon to eat, I might eat cheese and bacon, right? Yeah. But yeah, I'm not letting the sausages be overrided by a bit of cheese. Sorry. If you disagree with Morgan as well, please get in touch at SappeningPod, at SAPPENINPOD. I definitely spelled it wrong, but just get it right, didn't it? And let us know if you prefer cheese with your bacon or sauce. I can't believe. Has it come to this? Oh, I'm choking to death.
A follow would be nice. So go over there, check out all our stuff, retweet, share it with people. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple or Acast, subscribe wherever you listen and put it in your Instagram stories. Get it out there. Share it with every single person you know. And if you do enjoy listening to us two Welsh idiots talk to each other on a weekly basis, then why not head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin, where not only is there loads of extra bonus content where you can laugh at us, but you get to make friends with some lovely, lovely people. They've built a community and they've really spoiled this week doing a surprise. Well, they've told us of a surprise they're going to be giving us on Christmas Day. I'm very excited and a little bit worried. So if you want to get involved with all of that, patreon.com/sapning. We'd love to have you as part of our family.
If they're giving us a severed head, I'm going to be very upset.
That's weird.
Anyway, yep, as he said, patreon.com/sapning. In the description of this episode on your device, what you are doing a listen to of this podcast on. What a fucking sentence. Somebody write that out because I haven't got a fucking clue what I just said. Right. Check out patreon.com/sapnin and the description of this has loads of names. Doesn't just tell you about the information of the podcast, but it's also got names and supporters of our Patreon there. But also, we have to give a massive thank you to the elite members of our Patreon, the top tier, who support us and are absolute angels, along with anybody else who's ever joined our Patreon. I'd like to say thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
To Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Janelle Caster, Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Young, Figgy the Slutty Wiener Wacker, Sarah James, Paul Hirschfield, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Kelly Irwin, Michael Engler, Kat Besant, Amadine Urbano, Loz, Tony Michael, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Scott Jones, Bert, Simon Amos, Jodie Shannon, Belchie the Foulmouth Fuckboy. I can't believe he wrote that out. Kate Stevenson, Danny Eaton, Senny, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Lucy Deeds, Becky Handy, Martina McManus, Emily Senegals, Kelly Smooshy the Lubed Up Man Slammer, Mallory, John and Emma, Erin Howard, Jason Heredia, Jenny Robson, Marcy Jacobson, Louis Cook, Sandra Kuwacek, Craig Totwankfish.
I
don't know what that says.
I believe it's supposed to be a tit.
Titwankfish. He's written tot, which makes that way worse. says more about Craig that he's accidentally written tot in than it does about us reading it out. So thank you very much again to Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Lou Soul, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, Stuart, I might have Morgan's missing tracky bottoms, I'm never giving them back, McNaught, Sharif Awadale, Lydia Henderson, Dana Dancefloor Darling Lasnova, Nuala Clark, Julia Christmas Pun Slamy Ravitch.
Nice, Julia.
TJ the Acid Burrito on the Wings of the Night, Amber Shatlock. That sounds like a from first to last song. Crisp Kringle, Adam Parslow, Alice as a Far-Reaching Wood, and last but no means least, the fabulous Keris Andrews. Thank you very much to all of those people. Thank you very much to anybody at all who's part of the Patreon. It genuinely means the absolute fucking world to us. We never, absolutely never could have got to where we have got right now without those people. Fact. Absolute fact. So thank you very much. I know this is a free podcast that goes out and it's free everywhere. But yeah, it does, you know, it takes time to make and stuff. So yeah, thank you very much to all the Patreons. If you're thinking about becoming a part of the Patreon, thank you very much. You can give as little or as much as you want. We understand that it's a very, very tough time for everyone right now. So yeah, please don't go out of your way and get yourself in the red for us. Even though it is Christmas and Christmas is red.
That's true.
No, thank you. Yeah, be safe. Everyone be safe. Morgan, was there anything else?
I just wanted to say again, everyone in that community is some of my favourite people of all time with the Patreon. They made very emotional the other day, telling us that they've all secretly got together for a surprise for us. And yeah, I'm just excited for 2021 now, because obviously we've got some, well, we've got some real big plans and such bad thoughts. That's, I don't know why I used Unit 6 lyrics, but we've got some cool things planned for the new year. And obviously we'll be back next week on Christmas Day with a festive episode. Fuck knows
what
it
is. Hey, we haven't recorded that Christmas episode, and also we're now struggling to find guests. That's the truth, because we had people lined up, but now Slade have gone missing. Anyway, I've said too much. We also got in touch with Brian Harvey, but not yet anything back. I've said too much. I am stay another day. Anyway, yes, hopefully a Christmas miracle is going to happen, and we are going to get a Christmas guest between now and next Friday. I don't know if it's going to happen, but let's fucking find out.
It's worth tuning in next week just to find out what the fuck we've come up with, to be honest.
That is fucking true. It's, oh God alive, it might just be me and you opening. Oh no, it's not actually on. Yeah, never mind. Anyway, Sapnin! I'm losing my fucking mind, man. I'm losing my mind. Yeah, check out Raiders at Raiders Band UK and everything. I hope you're all well, and yeah, everyone who's ill gets well soon. So I don't know why I said that. I'm thinking of my dad. Anyway, enjoy it. Ta-da! Slap me in
again.
Oh, we gotta stop doing cocaine before we record these.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.